Thank you, Miss Linda. Fill my cup, Lord. A great old song. A lot of these songs that she sings, I have such great memories of because my mom and dad sang duets all the time. And so when we would go on trips, they would sing these duets. And I remember them singing that song just, probably hundreds of times. But great message in that song is that we need to be open for the Lord's filling us with His Spirit and His power and His attitude. So thank you, Linda. Appreciate that. Would you take your Bible and turn over to 1 Kings 13? 1 Kings chapter 13. Jim, can you hear me okay back there? Okay, just want to make sure. How about Pat? Can you hear me? Pat or Lizzie? Okay. 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to ask you a question this morning. To whom are you listening? I know you're listening to me at the moment, but that's not what I mean. Who do you listen to? Who do you pay attention to? And it might be easy to crank out an answer because we're in Sunday school, so we at least think that we're listening to the Lord, but we're going to look at a story this morning about a man who listened for a while, but eventually he stopped listening. And I want to tell you that's easy to do. The more familiar we become with our faith and our church and God's Word, it's easy to stop listening. So who are you listening to? 1 Kings chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse number 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, because the chapter's got enough verses in it, I can't read it. And I always like to read a chapter and then go through it. But it's so long that if I do that, I'll run out of time. And I really don't want to run out of time this morning. The first thing that I want to point out about this verse is, thank God for men and women who will stand up and deliver the message of God. I don't want to brush past that point because if you look in history, and I'm not a history buff, but history just is interesting to me. Because, you know, the times change and technology changes and we dress different, but we're people. And we're going to act like people did 300 years ago. We have the same tendencies and the details are different, but here is a man of God sent by God to do a job, and thank God for men and women who do that job. Brother Chris is one of his heroes is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I think, was a man of God for his day. And I think you can go through history and find men and women who were faithful to God. Now, in this case, King Jeroboam was at a pivotal point in his life. He was the king right after Solomon, and he actually had been an unwitting receiver of the kingship because of Solomon's sins. You remember King King Solomon chose to live out his life at the end of his life with little regard to God, to God's word and God's plan. And so God chose to take away the kingdom from King Solomon and from King Solomon's family and give it to his servants. And Jeroboam had been a very faithful servant, and he had been well used and had been a faithful worker for King Solomon for many years. Faithful, but not to the end. Always worries me when it pops and I'm not even moving. What's going on there, you know? Yeah. I just want to take a moment and go slow here because this is an important point. We're seniors. Most of us are, except for us young men. We're seniors and we've been faithful and we've supported the work of God. But as we see in this chapter, there are four men who, as far as we can tell, were faithful at one time, but they didn't finish faithful. And this is scary. We have Solomon who started strong, didn't finish strong. We have Jeroboam who started strong as a servant, but when he was elevated to kingship, he lost it and disobeyed the Lord. We have the man of God who most of our chapter is faithful to the Lord. And then we have an old prophet in this story who we don't know anything about him. But he was a prophet. The Bible says he was an old prophet. So more than likely at one time in his life, he started out strong. And so Jeroboam was king of the northern kingdom. And he had this wonderful opportunity that God gave him to put God in front of the kingdom and put back together what had fallen apart under King Solomon and to obey the Lord and to once again make the northern kingdom a great nation for the Lord. But he didn't choose that. Although he had been faithful under Solomon as a servant, as a king, he chose to do things for himself. And here in this verse, we find him standing by an altar to burn incense, and they were in the city of Bethel. Now there we've got a problem because they were supposed to be worshiping and burning incense and sacrificing in Jerusalem. And it wasn't supposed to be Jeroboam that was doing it. It was supposed to be the priest. Already starting out in disobedience. So God sends this man of God to Jeroboam to deliver the word of the Lord to Jeroboam as he's standing by this altar in the city of Bethel. Now, before we continue, and I just got to warn you ahead of time, there's so many rabbit trails in this chapter, Jerry. I mean, they're good ones too. I mean, I hate to even pass up. But, you know, here the man of God is coming to the king. And what I want to bring out is we need to be careful to react appropriately when God brings us His message. Can I say that again? Be careful to react appropriately when God brings us His message. Now that message can be brought by His Word as we read it. That message can be brought by that pastor back there in that office as we are in church or at one-on-one counseling. It can be brought all kinds of ways. Now here's how we have to look at this. If the message is needed, then we need to take the message and apply it and correct the problem. Let that sink in. If the message is needed, we need to apply it and apply it to our life and correct what needs to be corrected. But if it's not needed, and sometimes it's not needed, here's what I mean. Remember David. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was a man. You remember that? And men and women of God and pastors are not perfect. They are not perfect. And from time to time, there'll be a little bit of stinking thinking going on in their brain. With me is a lot of stinking thinking, but there'll be a little bit of that. And sometimes they won't be right on the mark. You know what I'm saying? But our reaction is what I want to deal with here. If the message is not needed and the man of God might be mistaken, if I come to Treasure and I come to Treasure with something that I bring to her and I'm mistaken about it, then what we need to do as the receiver is just take it with a grain of salt because his motive is good. His motive is right. And listen, if the man of God comes to me with something and he's mistaken about it, listen, I am supposed to, God knows my heart. It doesn't matter if the man of God is mistaken about it, as long as my heart is in the right place. Amen? So you just take it and you go on with it and let God take care and correct the matter. That's important. So this man of God comes to Jeroboam and he cries in verse number 2. He cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, "Oh, altar, altar. Thus saith the Lord." Now he's talking to an inanimate object, the altar, okay? He's talking to the altar. "Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now, remember, this sacrifice was happening, and it was taking place in Bethel, supposed to be in Jerusalem. It was supposed to be presided over by God's priest, yet the king Jeroboam was presiding over it. So this was wrong. And so the man of God comes into Jeroboam's presence, and he looks down at the altar, and he says, "Altar, let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a child that'll be born in the house of David. His name will be Josiah, and upon you, altar, there'll be the priest will be offered. The priests who are doing this terrible thing before the Lord, and the men of God who don't care about what God says, Josiah, will be sacrificing them upon the altar. And there will be bones burned upon the altar." Which, by the way, this happened 356 years later. This exact prophecy happened, word for word. Go home and read it. 356 years later, Josiah came into the scene, and he took care of the idolatry in the land, and he did away with the leaders who were not leading the way God wanted them to lead. So what we need to realize here is God is in control of things, and he knows what Jeroboam is doing, and he's taking care of it his way. We may not know what it is, and we may not like how God's taken care of it, but he's taken care of it. It's like Elijah when he got all depressed. That he said, "Lord," he was all depressed sitting up against the tree, and he says, "Lord, I'm alone. Nobody else is serving you like I am, and I'm tired, and I don't want to do this anymore." And what did God tell him? God told him that he had 7,000 other people just like him who's doing the same job. Put things in perspective. Here Josiah is going to come 356 years later and do exactly what the man of God said would be done. So in verse number 3, he gave him a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." So he says, this is how you know what I'm telling you is the truth. This altar is going to break in two, and all the hot ashes are going to run out onto the ground. They're going to be poured out. In verse 4, "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him." So Jeroboam is telling his guys to grab that guy. He's just spoken against him. He's saying that what he's doing is wrong. And he tells his guys to go get him. And the Bible says, "And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again." Boy, that's scary. I can just picture Jeroboam pointing over to the man of God, say, "Get rid of him. Bind him up and put him in chains. Get him out of here." And while he's pointing, his arm just locks. God dried it up. Hey, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that in this age, in this time period, God did things like that. It's foreign to us. He works through his word today. But back then, he worked through these miracles, and it shouldn't come to a surprise to us that Jeroboam had this reaction, because he cared not about the things of God. He wanted to do things his own way. And so verse 5 says, "The altar also was rent or split down the middle, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, he prayed to the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before." Now let's not confuse what's happened here. Jeroboam did not seek forgiveness and ask the Lord to forgive him. He just wanted to be healed. He's got this arm sticking out here. You know, he can't move his arm. God's frozen his arm up. And so he went and asked the man of God to seek the Lord's help to fix this problem, and that's just what he got. Isn't God merciful? God had no responsibility, no obligation to help out this guy. For that matter, the man of God, if I had had somebody that just pointed to me and told people to put me in chains and get me out of here, I don't know if I would have been so loving, Albert. You know? But this man of God was patient, and he prayed to the Lord, and sure enough, God fixed his arm again. And in verse 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Well, that sounds pretty good. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Now we see here that this man of God is still making good decisions in his service for the Lord. He refused to be tempted by Jeroboam's offer of wealth. And the man of God says, hey, look, if you were to give me half of your entire house, I wouldn't come home with you because the Lord said not to. He said not to eat. He said not to be refreshed and drink. And he said not to go back the way I came. Now, this is what God had told him to do, and he was obeying the Lord in what he was doing. But remember, the man of God is who I said started faithfully, but he did not end faithfully. So what happened in his life? He's still obeying right now. But we know, just from reading God's Word, one of the first signs that a child of God is beginning to head down a bad road is disobedience. And it can happen to the best of us. We saved 40 years. We've been in church 40 years. We've tithed and we supported the work of the Lord. And things can slip just like that. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So this man of God, this is potentially me, or this is potentially you right here. Let's continue in verse number 10. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So we don't know who this is, but it's an old prophet. And his sons had been participating, or at least in the presence of Jeroboam's false worship, his false sacrifice. And they ran home and told their father, the old prophet, about what had taken place. And so I'm thinking about this thing, and they probably stayed till the very end, and they heard this prophet say that this man of God say that he was not allowed to eat or drink. God told him not to eat, to get on the road about his business, and don't return back the same way. So this old prophet says in verse number 12, and their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereupon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Now, I wonder, was the old prophet here just trying to impress the king? He had heard the king be told by the man of God that he wasn't supposed to eat, drink, or go back the way he came. Yet the old prophet finds out about him, and he goes and he approaches him with the same offer that he heard was denied before. And he says in verse 15, he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Now let's stop here for just a minute. You know, God had talked to the man of God and told him what to do exactly, explicitly. Okay? And King Jeroboam had offered that to him. And the man of God said, no, God told me not to do that. But here's this old prophet who offers the exact same thing. That's a clue right there. Here's the clue. We already know what the Word of God was. What was the Word of God? To not eat, to not drink, to not go back the way you came, get busy about what you're doing. And yet this old prophet offers the same thing. And this is just a little turning point here. We're at a fork in the road. This is a Y right here. And if the man of God if this old prophet actually cared to do what God wanted him to do, he wouldn't have offered something that was already denied by God. Because this is the reason right here. God never, ever, ever offers us something or tells us something that's against this right here. Now today we've got His Word. Back then they had the audible Word of God. We've got this right here. So if I come to you one Sunday, if I come to you and I tell you God's leading me to do something and it's against something in here, you need to throw me out on my head. Because God will not react or do something against His own Word. And here this old prophet offered something that was already against God's Word. And so in verse number 16, and he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. So as of right now, the man of God is still faithful, okay? He's obeying. He's doing well. But let's keep reading. And in verse 18, the old prophet says, he said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But what's the rest of the verse say? But he lied to him. He lied unto him. So, see, this is a deal where the man of God is being told by an old prophet something that's in direct violation to God's Word. Red flags should be going off in your head right now. Red flags should be going off in this man of God's head right now, because he already had the Word of God, and yet somebody else, another prophet, said, well, I know what you heard, I know what the Word of God is, but an angel came to see me last night. Jim, did an angel come to see you last night? No. Anytime we were told, no matter what the situation is, anytime we're told something that runs contrary to the Word of God, run from it. And the man of God who had been so faithful to the Lord is about to jump off of a cliff. His faithfulness of the prior years or months or weeks or however long he served the Lord, all that faithfulness is about to go south. Because there's a false prophet telling him that the angel of God has told him to do something contrary to the Word of God. And there'll always be false prophets. There'll be false prophets, false teachers, false pastors, and they'll prey upon unsuspecting people. And they will not tell us what's in God's Word. They will tell them what God has told them directly. And when that happens, you need to start throwing the guys out on their head. Now, that's rough language, but God's Word supports it. Timothy was warned in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul that Timothy would have the same problem. It says, for 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So verse 19 says, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. We got a problem. Now, what possessed this man of God to do what this old prophet suggested? We don't know. What made him stop listening to God? He had listened to the Lord so faithfully. He had listened to God's word so consistently. And all of a sudden, all it takes is another prophet to say, God told me that we need to do something different. So it's okay to go to the house here. It's okay to eat some bread with me. And here, this faithful man of God started listening to somebody else other than God. So verse 20 continues. Do a time check. Verse 20 says, And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came into the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded me, thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water. Here's the result. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. This is what this means. It was a tradition in Israel. It was a custom. It was a matter of respect that when a man died in Israel, he would be buried with his fathers. And here, as a result of his disobedience, the man of God would have a carcass that would not return to, meaning something was going to happen to him. He would not make it. He would not make it to where he could die and be buried with his fathers. And verse 23, it says, And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread in disobedience, and after he had drunk in disobedience. Now, I'm adding those words, but that's what it means. After he had drunk, he had done something against the Lord's word, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, what's it say? A lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Now, this doesn't seem quite fair, but sometimes you can't go off of fairness in life, can you? Here we have the false prophet who lied. The Bible says he lied, and he's still alive. The man of God who was so faithful at the beginning, but then disobeyed, he's dead. A pretty gruesome death, no doubt. Torn and killed by the lion. And I don't understand that. I'm just going to be honest with you. Why didn't the old prophet get it? And what I have to do at the end of the day with so many things in life is just understand that God has the bird's eye view, Brother Royce. He's looking down. He knows what He's doing. Romans 11:33 says, Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Travis, sometimes I just wish he would share with me some of that wisdom and that knowledge. It says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding. So I don't know all the ins and outs of why the man of God is dead because of his disobedience. And the lying, false prophet, that old prophet who lied to the man of God is alive. I don't understand that. But God knows what he's doing. But here's the end thing, is the man of God was listening to the Lord faithfully, for no doubt, up to this point, very faithfully, but he stopped listening. God's word was good to go to Jeroboam and talk to him. God's word was good when he was offered the same thing by somebody else, but when the prophet went to him, and all he had to say was, hey, God spoke to me in a dream last night, Travis, and God's told me to do something else, and I know it's against the word of God, but he's told me, so. As a result, the man of God stopped listening to the voice of God, and he lost his life because of it. So where I started this whole thing was we're the senior Sunday school class, okay? Some in the church might call us the old guys, okay? And we've been faithful and we've served the Lord. But listen, just because we started faithfully doesn't automatically mean that we will finish faithfully. And what's going to determine what we do is who we're listening to. It's scary because in our day we have so much entertainment. We can jump on the TV and see anything we want. You know, 300 cable channels or satellite channels. We've got social media, and it's not a, hey, listen, Travis, it's not the thing that we refuse to listen to the Lord, but we spend so much time listening to all the other junk in our life, we don't have time for Him. When we have a 5 minutes here or 5 minutes there and we jump on our phone because we want to see the news and we want to see the latest post and the cutest picture on Facebook, because that's what we do, and that's fine and dandy. But if we don't give God's Word the same amount of time and the same amount of effort, we can easily start listening to other people instead of the Lord. And therein lies the danger. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for the reminder from Your Word that it's so important to listen.